Hello and welcome back to Ola Bonjour Konnichiwa, the podcast with myself, Lorna, and herself, Audrey. How are you?
How's it going? And I'm
Good.
going to meet them. Yeah.
Good, 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 good. So just, we normally start off with our little well-being bits, right? So you're back starting Body Slims this week. I'm
Yes.
still doing my calorie counting thing. And this was the first week this time where I knew I was going to be up. Like, do you know when you just have a week where you're just like, I'm fucking starving.
Yeah.
One of
That could be
those
your
weeks.
hormones. That could be anything, like,
Oh, it could be anything, but I'm just a hungry hippo, like it was. I just during the week, I was like, oh yeah, you can have your takeaway, whatever. And so that's grand. And then like the Friday before I go for a weigh-in on Saturday mornings, and the Friday before it, I was literally like, now let's stay up late now to watch the Late Late Show. Do you know what? That would be lovely. The Chinese again, just before. For the Late Late Show. So that's what happened. I went up then, was like up 2 pounds. But at the same time, I'm not bothered about it because look at me, I'm not bothered. She's nearly
I'm not
crying.
even a little bit
I don't
bothered,
even
not even
care.
a little
Like,
bit.
just because I'm talking about a podcast doesn't mean I'm bothered, right? But I know, sure, look, God's sake, these things happen. Like, and back on it now again. So I'm trying now to reset again this week. And to be honest, last week I knew I was kind of like, I did no walks last week at all.
Yeah.
Like, water. I was like, what's that like? No, thank you. I was just, I found myself picking at things. Joe, I was picking at
Yeah.
Charlie's sweets. Oh, it was just one of those weeks. So I have to now, seriously, now this week, hit the proper reset button, get up off my arse, go for the walks, because I'm a gas one now for, oh, it's raining. Oh, it's
Oh,
very
I don't
cold.
walk in the rain. Yeah,
Oh,
no,
do you
I'm a creature.
not?
No.
But then again, Audrey, I have a treadmill as well. I've no excuse, like. Do
Yeah.
you know what I
Yeah.
mean? But the weather as well, though, my God, this is the first
Brutal.
time now I've had to turn the heating on and everything. It is Baltic.
I do
Absolutely
think like
Baltic.
that kind of weather makes you want comforty food as well. You
Yeah.
know, like it does, it kind of makes you want to huddle down and get out the
Yeah.
white bread and
I
you
swear
know.
to God, stew. That's what I
Yeah.
wanted to buy.
Yeah.
Stew. I wanted to go to Dunn's and get fluffy pajamas, the fluffy
Yeah.
socks. Like, I am ready now for Christmas. Put up the Christmas tree. Like, just get it up. I'm ready for it. Like, so how are you? Are you starting Body Slims this week, is it?
I got my login details the other day and I went to the shops and I bought a brand new digital scales and I was dodging this now. I hadn't weighed myself in about 3 weeks because I thought it was going to be way up. And I tell you what, how much things are in your head, right? I thought this I was going to be way over. I felt lousy kind of in myself. I was not as confident or whatever. Anyway, dripped down to the nip, Fitbit and all came off, stood on the scale, couldn't believe it. I'm up a half a pound, which was like
Audrey,
amazing.
that's nothing, and that's
I
a
know.
fart. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
As you were saying,
I
that's
was like delighted with that. That was fine. That was
yeah.
okay. I couldn't believe it. I actually stepped on and off the scales a few times like that, kind of going, that can't be right. That can't
Yeah.
be right. Like half a pound. But where I'm saying it's in your head was before I stepped in the scales, I was thinking, oh, I feel lousy in myself. I'm after putting all the weight back on, blah, blah, blah. Stood on the scales, realized I was down half a pound, went off shopping in Zara buying jeans. Suddenly the confidence is back. And
Yeah,
it's like, that's all in your head. Your
it is.
weight didn't change at all on the scales. Your shape didn't change, not even an inch.
Do you know
But
what though? I think as women, we are so, and I've said this even to Colin before, we're so brainwashed from years of slimming groups, going
yeah.
in, joining the queue, the pressure of, oh my God, can anyone hear me? Now you're standing up in front of the scales, knowing there's a queue of people behind you. It's pressure, and it's pressure that we, from other people, it's pressure that we put on ourselves as well. Because like that, I had one bad week there last week. In the grand scheme of things, 2 pounds is nothing. Like, I know I'll probably have that off
No, and
next
it'll be
week.
gone
So
next week.
yeah, absolutely
Yeah.
nothing. But you do kind of go, because I post it up every Saturday, and that's not for Instagram likes or anything like that. That's literally for me to keep myself accountable, so that when I inevitably go off the rails, that I can look back and go, ah, come here, look how much show you're after coming on, don't fuck it up, right? So I do that post purely for me. But when I was there last Saturday, I came out and I was going, how am I going to post now? Like, that I was up 2 pounds
I
and I'm
know.
all preachy, preachy. But you know what? It's bloody normal. Like, to tell the truth. That's the way I see it. Like, it's you're up 2 pounds, big whoop. Like, you lose it again. But that's what I'm saying. The pressure that women put on ourselves, and it is all in our head. Like,
Yeah.
even you know when you had the break from Body Slims, in your head you're like, oh my God, I'm back piling on the weight now. It's been weeks and nothing. But look at the
No.
difference. If you did stand on the scales and were after putting up, 10 pounds or
Four or
something.
five pounds.
Do you know what I mean? The difference in your mood would have been completely different. Like, it's just, oh, I don't know. It's an absolute bloody head melt, isn't it?
is. Like, there's all these posts coming out now, and it's like all media coverage from the noughties. So if you were a teenager or someone in your early 20s during the noughties, you will have seen when Jessica Simpson was flagged off for being fat. She was a whale. Like, you would have seen when Britney made her comeback. That she was in, you know, when I see those pictures now, I'm actually astounded how they were ever published. But like Britney looking buff, and like it was like Britney fight the flab on, oh my god.
Yeah, like, and I'm like, that's my target weight, like, like, oh, what are you on about? And they were like, they were like models, and the way things were, even like as you say there back in the 90s and 90s, whatever, like imagine fucking saying that now. Can you imagine someone putting up there like shocker?
But they were healthy women, they were good sized healthy women, like, and we were reading those headlines, and it's no wonder that we have issues, like, when they talk about body positivity, and I feel like I missed that, I that passed me by, but this is why, because we didn't grow up in it, like, it's almost too late for us now, or it's hard to undo the years and years of toxic media coverage of, like, I remember, I think I spoke about this before, a girl auditioning for the X Factor, and Simon Cowell telling her, yeah, but you look like a fat shop girl, and no one's going to want to buy records from a fat shop girl. And he said that, and the girl stood on the stage going, I know, but I can lose the weight. And they were like, you're going to have to lose. They were like, literally, thank you, you're talking 20, 30 pounds. And Sharon is like, mm-hmm, I love, you're going to have to tone up. And she's just standing there so desperate to be selected. She was like, absolutely, I'll do anything. And I'm like, that was us. We watched that. Awesome. We heard that. Like,
But you know what as well, what annoys me, right? And I know you love Zara. Zara models. I'm sorry now. What is the deal with the Zara models? They are just, they're skin and bone. They're unhealthy. They're not even slim. They look fucking malnourished. Like, I'd love to give them a burger. Like, there's some of them, and they have no arses, they have no boobs, no arses, no hips. You know, they do not represent real women, and that's what bugs the shit out of me about Zara. Like,
I've noticed lately with Zara, because I'm constantly shopping online, they've tried to become slightly more diverse in the models that they use, and by that they have some older, they've like a wider age range, but still quite slight and all the rest. But yeah, they seem to be trying, making some sort of effort to become a bit more diverse. I do know though that their clothing range in store has become a little bit better in terms of its size range.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be in there shopping. Like, I'm not a Zara model. Like, definitely, I know that they're going up now. Again, like every shop, like Penny's, all of them, their size range is ridiculous. As in, you could buy a pair of jeans in a size 12, and then you need to buy another pair of jeans in a 16. Like, that's they're not uniformed in their sizing, but they are getting a little better at being a little bit more inclusive. Still nowhere near where they should be, but improvements, although they're small, are still improvements.
They're coming.
Yeah. Anyway,
we have to talk about the Late Late Show. Patrick Kenty. Now, I let you talk about, like, the little digs that he gave Tubbs, because I didn't really like that. But I found, overall, I liked him. When he came out first, I thought, he thinks he's doing stand-up comedy. He thinks he's like I know he is a comedian, but I was like, oh, it's a bit cringe, right? The guests as well, they were good, but I thought they'd be better for the first show.
I expected a lot more from the lineup.
Yeah, I really did. I did enjoy the two Johnnies. I thought they were good. I liked them. Tommy Tiernan, Hector, and Loretta. That podcast is probably great. Like, it's not as great as this one. By the way, if you'd like to drop us a vote in the Irish Podcast Award, listeners' choice.
Go on, Roman, Lorna.
Please go do it. Now, I haven't listened to their podcast, but it's supposed to be brilliant, in fairness. But I hadn't a clue who your one Loretta was when I was watching it. She's Biden's cousin or something, isn't it? Biden's first cousin or something. Yeah. But anyway, who else was on it? There was, one guy
Mary
that I would say.
Mary,
I didn't recognise Mary McAleese at all.
Yeah.
She totally
She's had a
changed.
Bit of a glow up.
Yeah, she was very glam, in fairness to her. She's funny though, I liked her. Now, James McLean, I thought, was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant. So James McLean is a footballer. He's a footballer for Ireland, but he also plays for Wrexham, right? Which, I'm sorry, no, but I can only imagine his wife must be constantly like going,
honey, all the games.
Forgot your lunch. I just said I'd drop in your lunch there if Ryan Reynolds is down there. Like, I'd be there all the time. But like, he gets so much abuse and stuff. Like, he was saying it on the show, like how he's been threatened, his life has been threatened to kidnap his wife and children, which is absolutely ridiculous. But he said on the show as well that he's actually on the spectrum. So his daughter was diagnosed as autistic, and he came out and he said, look, that he's been tested as well. And he was a bit wary, you know, because of the abuse he gets, that it's like almost more ammunition for people to jeer him or something like that. But I actually thought it was lovely. And he said that he got tested because he wants to be more understanding of his daughter, to kind of feel what she feels. And he was proud to be on the spectrum. And I actually thought, you know what? Isn't he such a great role model? And I know as well, for that, so many parents of autistic children, I guarantee you, we've all been there, because when you're going through, myself, I mean, if I was to get assessed, I would say probably 99% I'm probably autistic myself, like, because I noticed things where, when we were filling out all the paperwork for Charlie, and if you apply it yourself, I'm like, oh, I think I am. And like, someone actually messaged me and said, you know, I can see that you're heavily masking. Yeah. And I was like, oh, cheers, thanks. But I would say I am, only that I'm too, I figure I've gotten to 40 through life. I don't think I need a piece of paper or anything, you know, this day and age. Like, you know, at some stage I might do it, but at the moment I prefer to put that money towards a nice holiday for myself and my family. But I just thought your man James McLean, I thought, he's such a role model. Like, I thought he was great. But the show, like, it was cut down, wasn't it? So they've shortened the time. It's only on now till 11 o'clock.
An hour and a half.
And I think some of the jabs he gave at the start were a bit uncalled for, if I'm being honest. Like,
I think, you know, we're Irish people in particular, we go in for the self-deprecating humour. So I'd imagine what he thought was, because he's only so familiar with, like, Twitter and the Twitter trolls, he probably thought, I'll get in there first. And, you know, I think it was probably that thing of, like, if I poke the fun, or if I address the elephant in the room, if I just get in there first, it removes the need for anybody else to flood social media with this comment and that comment or whatever. So I didn't like all of it, but I understood why he was doing it, like, definitely.
I knew he was doing it, like, but he kind of went on a bit too much for me, where I was like, stop now. But overall, I think, like, you could see he was a bit nervous as well,
Definitely, he did look a bit like the deer in the headlights at the beginning.
And to
be
fair, like, they are big shoes to fill. That is a big, big show. So of course you'd be shitting yourself, like, going onto that. But I think he'll be good. I think over time, give him a couple of shows. I actually think he'd be brilliant at the toy show.
Oh, well, yeah, he has two young kids. I think his youngest child is only 5. So, I mean, he's very familiar, I'm sure, and comfortable around kids. And obviously, having two young kids of his own, I think he'll be good. Yeah, yeah. I can see him at that. I thought the format was a little better, in the sense of, I liked that the first guest remained on stage when the second guest came out, and there was a bit more of a panel type discussion. I thought that was good. And then it swapped out at the break and so on.
Isn't that going back to, like, the old way as well of the Gay Byrne days? Do you remember Gay Byrne used to have the long table when there was, like,
four seats?
Yeah. So I liked at the start as well, where they had Gay Byrne's voice in. Yeah. Remember introducing Patrick Heath? You thought that was a nice touch as well. But overall, what were your thoughts on it?
Overall, I think he comes across very likable. He comes across, he's definitely eager to be liked, but luckily he is very likable. I'd like to see how he weathers a more difficult conversation. I'd like to see how he fares out on a more serious topic, because he does seem keen to be liked. So I don't know how challenging he might be with a guest. You know, that way I'm not sure how that would work. But it's not a political show. It's a chat show. It's topical. So I don't know. I think he'll do great at the toy show. I think that'll be up his street. I liked it. I actually didn't like the studio. I didn't like the colours and stuff in the background. Although it got great compliments online. Well, I didn't really like it.
So did you not like it? No.
No, not really. It looked more like pink, a news studio type thing for me. It made me feel more like a news studio, like almost like Virgin Media news type.
Setting.
But yeah, give him a chance. Give him time. See how he gets on.
But still, in your eyes, he's no celebrity.
Not yet. But I'm gonna give him a fair chance. And look, I told you I love live tweeting TV. So I had Twitter open, I had the hashtag on it, and I was refreshing it, and it was like the old days. I mean, the hashtag was constantly refreshing. So all eyes were on the toy show on Friday night. So many people were watching it.
Is Twitter still huge? Like, because I don't use Twitter at all.
I don't really use it as much anymore, but it's still, for something like that, like a live TV, debate, a live conversation, for that, it's still brilliant. So I was kind of keeping an eye on it, like, to see what the general set consensus was. And obviously, Ryan, there's some people that are very anti-Ryan, but there's some people that are like diehard Ryan Tubridy fans and feel like he's been really shafted in all of this. So I was just curious to see.
Hello.
I know. But I was dying to see like what the online sentiment would be. And it was quite favourable, because Twitter can be quite toxic and quite negative. But actually, no, he was doing very well. He was holding his own. Good. And he was getting, he was doing better than I would have thought. I read a few of the articles that come out afterwards, because this is where they'll often lift from Twitter. And that's all those articles definitely had a more positive sentiment. So people are very willing to give him a fair go. Good. And you know, when they were talking of all the potential candidates that could have been in the running to be the Late Late Show presenter, apart from Baz and Lucy, because it was talked about at one point that there might be Baz and Lucy being a double act.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't.
No, so he's probably the right person of all the names that were thrown around.
No, I still think Tommy Tiernan would have been very good as well.
I think
he's good. I like him. I like
I wouldn't have liked to see Tommy on the Toy Show. I don't think that would have been.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah, but I think for interviewing and stuff, he'd be good enough. But we'll have to wait and see how he goes.
Yeah, give him a chance.
Give him a chance. Right, so we're going to move on there now to a bit of celebrity news. And as always, we have our celebrity correspondent there, Audrey, over there. Now, everything we say on this, because we're not TMZ, we're going to use the word allegedly.
Allegedly.
Right, so we have the goss, the alleged goss, don't we? And Audrey, you have some very juicy gossip.
It's not my gossip. It's a bit of a roundup. And look, if you've been on TikTok, if you've been on social media at all over the last day or two, you will have seen, he was trending all day today, and yesterday was Russell Brand. Russell Brand is trending across all of the platforms. And if you haven't heard any of the stories about Russell Brand, I'm going to rewind slightly. You know the comedian, Catherine Ryan?
Yeah.
She's like American, Canadian?
Yeah. And she came out and she's gone, I'll leave you to it.
A while back, she came out to say that basically there was a predator in plain sight. Now, here's the thing, right? Because there's two people, and this is where I'm going to confuse things. We'll talk about Russell Brand for a moment, and then I'm going to talk about somebody else. But she talked about this TV personality, comedian, that was a predator in plain sight. She said, everybody knows, it's well known, there's no secrets here. But much like all these other cases of all these other big stars, whether it's Jim will fix it or Bill Crosby or any of these people, where it was always known, and yet nobody did anything about it. She alluded to the fact, and she has not named the person, but she said that this person is quite popular. She gave a rough age profile, that it was a male, and that they were well-known predator in this circuit, and that women were very only too aware that often you would go for a job and be advised by a male colleague, steer clear your man. So like, this was well-known, well-talked about, and yet he continues to do what he does in plain sight because he's so successful and so well known. So she never said who it was, and initially there was a lot of speculation over who she was talking about, and a few names were bandied about. Russell Brand was one of them, but there was another couple of names too that were bandied about, and this is where all these kind of little conversations are taking place. So we fast forward ever so slightly, and there's a big documentary coming out, and it's all about Russell Brand. And in this documentary, there are five women that have come forward, four of which chose to be anonymous. One is happy to go on record. And they all make very serious allegations about Russell Brand of rape, sexual assault, and other types of abusive behavior. Have you read up any of this?
I saw the stuff there that you sent me there earlier on the TikTok stuff.
Yeah, so there's one case in particular where he was 31 years of age, and the girl at the time was 16 years of age. And he saw her in a Topshop or something. She was shopping. This is how he met her, and he went through her basket. Of course, bear in mind, he is mega superstar at this point. At 31, he was actually at the peak of his career around then. This is when he was after breaking Hollywood. He was massive. And he spots this girl, and we say he didn't know she was 16 at the time. He spots this girl. He goes to her shop, and you can imagine, I can actually picture it. He pulls out a dress, and he's like, this is what you're going to wear on our date later on tonight. She's 16. She's bloody delighted because he's like mega celeb. She's very flattered and probably has never been approached by a 16-year-old boy quite like that. So she's... oh, so impressed. She went home. She told her mom. Her mom said, text him there now and tell him that you're 16. And his response to that was, legal is good with me. So
he knew well
that she was 16. That was fine by him. And they embarked on a relationship. So she had no experience. She was a virgin.
Audrey, this really bothers me.
I'm not going to tell the whole. I won't tell.
No, but 16 is a fucking child. Like, I'm sorry now.
Well, this is... I want to get into that now, actually. So she said she was 16. He was thrilled. She was very inexperienced. She was a virgin. She had no sexual experience prior to this. And he loved this. And he very much educated her in the ways of sex.
God.
To his taste, which was most bizarre. Mm. And certainly not vanilla. And certainly not straightforward. And certainly not anything that you'd want to expose an inexperienced 16-year-old to. But, however, we'll say it was still legal. What was going on here was still legal. We use that term. Until it wasn't. Until he started to get, I suppose, deeper and deeper into his requests that he or his kind of ideas that he wanted to float by her to see what she was okay with. And at one point, he asked her to call over. She called over. He greeted her naked. He immediately put his hands between her legs and then announced to her that he actually had a friend present. This is a young girl. And he had invited a friend also over. I won't, because actually, to be honest with you, it's so graphic and so detailed that it would actually turn your stomach a little bit. But
is this the girl that's come forward now, is it?
This is one of them, yeah. So this 16-year-old, anyway, her story is very graphic, very detailed, very specific, and would turn your stomach. The other stories that had come out were varying, women his own age, women younger, whatever, various different situations. Usually, in fact, one woman in particular had messages on her phone whereby he assaulted her. He did what he wanted to do. She left. She managed to get out. He was blocking the door. She managed to get out. She ran for safety. And he texted her afterwards and said, will you please forgive me? Like, there's messages there where basically it's like an admission. He asks for her forgiveness. She said, no, you scared the shit out of me. Why don't you understand that no means no? That she replies, he replies back, and he seems to have been remorseful in those messages, apologizing again and begging her forgiveness for what went on, that he just got carried away, that he wasn't sure what was what. The other thing, a lot of people, I mean, Russell Brand was famed for having addictions, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, and all the rest. These were in sober periods. So it's not even that these assaults
all took place. I was just going to say that, yeah, because I knew, like, at the height of his fame, he admitted himself that he was a complete arsehole. Like, he was promiscuous on riding all around him, basically. But he kind of went a bit, when he got sober and all, he kind of went a bit, like, you know, clean living, you know, hippie, in if you know what I mean. Like, so this happened while he was in his sober phase, which is extremely worrying. Not that it would be okay if it was during his, you know, addiction times either, like, but...
Yeah, well, look, he got obviously a heads up that this documentary was going to air. And so before it aired, in an unusual move, I think, he came out on his social media platforms himself and he recorded a video. And in his video, he says, he's so well spoken, in fairness to him. He's probably the most, he's a beautiful use of the English language. He's very eloquent and articulate. So I'll grant him that. And I do actually think he's an extremely intelligent man. Mm-hmm. But in his video, he comes out and he says, look, I've been made aware, there's a lot of hand actions, which is why I'm doing this. He's like, look, I've been made aware that these stories, usually we talk about the media here and we talk about the news, but it turns out I am the news, and there is a story going to come out about me, and I absolutely categorically deny any of the allegations that are made in this documentary that's going to come out. He said, I was well known, I was extremely promiscuous, like, you know, I probably was too honest about my failings in that respect, and now it's been used as a stick to beat me with. And he's basically trying to say that the mainstream media have had enough of Russell and his right-wing ideals and the way that he tries to challenge the media, and like that he's a bit of a tinfoil hat wearer, and this is them basically trying to punish him, trying to silence him, to shut him up. They've come up with this elaborate kind of ruse to get him and nail him to the cross, as it were, because they just want to shut him up. And like, he's floating this around now. Russell has a huge following, and because he's kind of gone to this kind of right-wing hippie-ish kind of, there's a lot of people very into that, a lot of vulnerable people that are very much hanging every word he says. Dan, I've listened to him. I used to follow him on Instagram myself, and sometimes I would listen to what he would say, and I'd actually be like, because he's quite profound. He's actually a very clever man.
Like, yeah, he is.
And he, you know, he would enlighten you sometimes. He'd say something and you're definitely questioning yourself. And so I'm not surprised that he has a lot of people that are really speaking
out. But then again, defense. I suppose, Audrey, like, just to play devil's advocate here as well, like these big celebrities, like, why was none of this, why did they not report it at the time? Why years later now again is this coming out? Do you know what I mean? And I do wonder about that, like, because unfortunately there are, in the minority, whatever, but people that will go after a celebrity like that for money, for the fame, whatever.
Yeah.
So again, that's why we say allegedly, because we don't know.
I'm saying it allegedly. Yeah. And like, I would have been a Russell Brand fan myself, I guess, for a while there. There's a male comedian, and I'm sorry now that I can't think of his name, but there is a male comedian that speaks out in the documentary. And apparently he has he's nothing to gain from this, right? So this guy already has a bit, I'm sorry I can't think of his name now, I'll be kicking myself after the podcast, but anyhow, this male comedian who is well established and already is quite successful has gone on record in defense of the women. He has said, as a fellow comedian, that there's WhatsApp groups that actually warn and there's women in the WhatsApp group, and stories have been swapped and exchanged for years. So when they call him a predator in plain sight, he was like, I knew, my colleagues knew. We used to like not want to really work where he was working, but he was big on the circuit at the time. He's like, this is not new news. This is something that has been toted around the industry, but he seemed untouchable because, especially once he got his Hollywood fame, he just had moved on even to a greater plane. And I don't know, because this guy, they say, like, and he's not now the partner of someone who alleges they were abused by Russell, which would give him an invested interest in this story. He's just another comedian who worked on the circuit, who says that it was kind of commonly known not to let yourself end up if you go back to a party, don't be the last one there, you know, yourself in a room with your man. So I don't know. So that's Russell Brand, okay, and I think you'll see him trending for a little while to come. Yeah, and I'm sure if five women have come forward, and this documentary was really well researched, by the way. It was researched by journalists and investigators, and like, it was researched over a long period of time. So this is something that, again, I know it's all alleged, and like, if he's right and it is the mainstream media trying to get him, I guess so, but I don't know. There's a lot of work has gone into this now. It looks as though Catherine Ryan, although this has all been harked back to her, as being the one that started all of this, that it wasn't Russell Brand that she was actually talking about at all. And apparently there is another very successful, I'm afraid now to mention people, as the bigger our little podcast gets, the more worried I get about the things that we say. So
allegedly,
I won't name the names, but there is another male comedian who would be in his late 40s. I don't know if he's 50 yet. Hugely successful character, comedian.
Jonathan Ross.
Had his own show, huh?
Jonathan Ross?
No.
I'll keep guessing, though.
Was also a judge on talent shows and has a range of children's books out.
Oh, yeah, I heard that before, yeah. When she came out with that, there were so many. They were saying, oh my God, it's Jonathan Ross, it's David Walliams, it's this, it's that, it's that. But like, see, again, you just don't know. Like, I mean, because when she said something like that, my God, the names that went on. And then it came out about Philip Schofield, and people thought, oh my God, that's who she was on about. And now with Russell Brand, they're like, oh my God, that's who she's on about. But I suppose until she comes out and says, told ya.
She can't. So there was an interview where she's given an interview there recently, and I think she's all but naming all but, I mean, she's so close. She's nearly done what I just did there, basically. Yeah. Give you a height and weight and description and a star sign and everything else. Like, so I don't know. There's talk that this is about your man, the other person, the judge, the reality TV show judge and author of children's books. And
David Walliams, allegedly.
Well, allegedly. I mean, you said it.
Allegedly. Prove it.
So So obviously, you know, people are starting to scratch the surface on your man, and there's some seriously questionable stuff.
Is there? Because I really like him now.
I know everybody does. I mean, my nephew was 16 now, but like he wouldn't have been into reading, but he always read those books. Like, you know, kids that didn't even like reading used to read those books. I know. So there's talk of, okay, that he has a very questionable private life, and that's his own business. That would be his private life. Whatever he gets up to behind closed doors, fine. There's stuff coming out. Google this, because I'd only seen it when I went digging a little bit there. During his time as a judge, I think it was on Britain's Got Talent. No, on Britain's Got Talent, a person auditioned, and after the audition, they picked up his whole conversation by Mike, and he was talking about the person that had just auditioned, and it was really detailed, vulgar, disgusting. And the person had just auditioned, and he's gone on about like wanting to FCUK them, and that they would or they wouldn't, and what they would do, and what she'd probably do.
And this who was he talking to?
Amanda Holden and whoever else would be, I don't know, Amanda Holden and somebody. Yeah. Now they're not really participating in the conversation back. You know, he thinks he's funny and he says a lot of things being funny, and they're just kind of more silent or kind of ha 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 awkward laughter. But like, so these tapings then were released to the public, and he made an apology. He said that was a private conversation. It was humorous, albeit inappropriate, and it was never intended to be heard publicly. But I don't know. And that's not all. Like, so there's more. Look, he is into some kinky shit, like, which doesn't really surprise me. I always got a vibe that he might be.
Into kind of, that vibe off him now, no.
Oh yeah, I always got a sense of like he's done some very funny videos actually about all the women that he's supposed to have been with. Like, have you never
He always came across as gay to me, if I'm being honest. I always thought he was gay. I know he's not now.
Into a bit of everything.
Tiny holes goal, I suppose. Like,
I actually said that earlier on. My mother said that's disgusting.
It is disgusting. It is.
look, I don't know, because I'm afraid if we're wrong, I don't like to.
Do you know what though? Isn't it so disappointing? All these people that we all watched on telly, you know, we've all watched Britain's Got Talent, we all watched This Morning with Philip Schofield. And when the news like this comes out, you go, not that you're like, that bothered, like, but I'm like, I really liked him. Like, I really liked him.
Do you know what I think it is? You're disappointed by them, and then you're disappointed in yourself that you didn't see it or that you didn't know, because you kind of trust yourself as like a good judge, and then you're like, what? They did this, but I like them. And so you're actually a little bit disappointed in yourself too, even though you shouldn't be. But there's like two layers to it. Like, but sorry, you were talking about 16 and legal. That was something, that was a conversation I was actually going to have with you, because since I've been digging into this whole story, the amount of men that will literally reply in comment section saying, but it was legal, but it was legal. Oh. And they did this with Philip Schofield as well. Yeah. And you feel like saying, okay, just because something is legal doesn't mean it's moral or ethical or otherwise.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's astounding to me. I can never understand why a man will jump to the defense of a strange man when it comes to something like this. If you were 31 years of age and you were using your position of influence to engage in sex with a 16-year-old, just because it's legal doesn't mean that it's okay. And why is the bar so low? Why is it like...
Like 16, I'm sorry now. I know, like, at 16, when I was 16, right, I thought I knew everything. I was the business. I thought I was feckin' unreal, right? I started going out, say, at 17, do you know what I mean? Going out with the girls and drinking and all this, and drinking and smoking and all the rest, right? And when you're in, at the time, you're in the mind frame of, oh my God, I'm unreal. I could handle anything, blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't have a clue. Like, if an older man came to me, I'd be like, you're the same age as my dad, like. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't see 16 is a fucking child. I know what 16-year-olds think, that they're all grown up and all. I was guilty of it myself. But looking back now, at the age I am now, and looking back to when I was 16, 17, I hadn't a bloody clue.
No.
Not a clue. Not to mind then if there was... All right, so when I was 16, I was in love with the Backstreet Boys, right?
You imagine, like, posters on the wall. Like,
right? Now... Nick Carter was like probably the same age as me, because I'm sure he joined it when he was like 8 or something, right? But say someone now, like, oh God, I don't know, because you know what? All the pop stars now were probably around my fucking age. Like,
same.
You know what I mean? But say the equivalent of Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys, if he was 31 and came up to me when I was 16, of course you'd like, oh my God, like,
yeah.
And you'd be gone off and you'd do whatever the hell they want. because they're the celebrity. But again, that's that stupid, naive, childish brain, because you don't know the consequences of it. So 16 is a child. I really think that the legal age should be bumped up to 18. Now, I don't know what worries me then is that everyone says, oh, but sure, it's younger and younger now they're getting. Sure, they're out having sex now when they're like 12 and something. I can't deal with that.
That's terrifying. But there's a bit of a difference between a 16-year-old having sex with a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old and a 16-year-old having sex with a 31-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, if you just set the bar at, well, it's legal. If legal is where your bar is at, what the fuck?
There's something wrong with you.
Yeah. And then for you to think that you could jump to the fence of a complete stranger in a forum online or on Twitter or Facebook or wherever, that means you really think that's okay. Not only do you think it's okay, you're happy to go on record as saying it's okay.
Yeah.
That's so terrifying. That's really scary. Like,
and it's wrong. It's completely fucking wrong, because you know what? If you have nieces or nephews or sons or daughters or anything like that, it's completely wrong, and you can be sure your bloody attitude would change if it was your 16-year-old niece or something that was going off with Johnny down the road there at 31 years of age. It wouldn't be heard of, like. So I don't know, it makes me feel very, very uncomfortable when we're talking about things like this. I'm like, 16 is a child, like it's a child.
And the other strange thing, and I feel like I'm man bashing at the moment, but you know when you hear story of a 16-year-old boy and he was seduced by the female teacher, age 35, which is just as disgusting. But then the lads come into the comments going, go on, my son, fair play, Chips. You probably made his day. Stop it. Stop. I mean, that's really disturbing as well. And that's unfair on the child too, because you're telling them that they should be delighted by what is actually abusive. Like, what is an abuse of power, an abuse of influence?
Yeah.
It's as disgusting. But you telling the kid, go on, get in there, my son. That's you know.
I worry about boys, you know, like, it's probably since I have my own son, right? If you're the mother of a girl, you're probably teaching them all about, you know, consent, blah, 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 everything else. But boys, I worry about, because nowadays it's so easy to turn on the boy and be like, oh, he did that, he did that, he did this. I just feel that men are getting such a raw deal. Now, not in everything. Some things are well-deserved, but I worry for my child, because you can't fart sideways now at a woman and they're like, oh, you do this, you do that, I'm offended, blah, blah, blah. The world has gone bonkers, to be honest with you, Audrey, right? Like, this, I don't know what woke means, right? Where did that word come from, woke, to be honest, right?
Woke what is actually, woke? Initially, it's a very positive term to mean that you are awakened, alert, aware, that you're aware of, like, moral, ethical, social issues. That initially woke was actually a positive term that was then turned into a derogative term in order to run it down. So now anybody that dares to question anything is jeered as being woke. But woke isn't actually an insult. To be woke is actually a compliment. But somewhere along the line,
yeah, and they use it now as woke. Like if you think back, like, I suppose our parents would have taught boys, you know, to hold the door open for a lady. So, you know, things like that. Whereas if you did that now, you'd nearly get a fucking wall up, like, off someone, because they're like, what are you doing? Like, some people are just, this is what I worry about for my child. Oh, I do. I worry about this all the time for my child.
No, I'd be more worried about a girl being abused or raped than I would about a boy getting a bit of a
fucking
hard time.
You know what I mean. Like, you know what I mean. No, but the world now is gone fucking bonkers.
I don't think so. I think this has to happen. This is a turning point. This is a process. So I think we have to go through this to come out the other side and find the level playing field. It's a difficult time at the moment because we're facing all these conversations and arguments. But I don't ever want to someone go, because you can't even fart at a woman now. No, but fuck off though. Fuck off.
But you can't. You can't. Listen, you can fart anywhere in the world, but you can't do anything. I'm not saying manhandle them or anything.
Don't do anything unless you have express consent.
If you need to fart, you need to fart. Obviously not manhandle anyone or anything. I'm on about simple things like, this only happened recently to my husband, right? He was walking in the place and he held the door open for your one. And your one went, I can do it myself. Literally snapped. And I turned around and I was like,
I
go in, fuck off. But you know what, Audrey? There are some women that are so up their own holes that are anti-men. I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. There are women that are so fucking anti-men.
I tell you what, there's a lot of men that are anti-women than there are women that are anti-men. If you go into any of the social media platforms, it is men that are flooding the comments in defense of other men, strange men.
Oh, absolutely. It's 100%. There's more dodgy men, of course. Like, of course there is.
But not even just that. Like, this, I don't really like the framing that women need to lighten up or women need to relax. Women are as defensive as they are and precious as they are because they've endured something, because they've come through something, and we're in the process of trying to come out the other side. This is a shitty, sticky place that we're in right now, and it'll be like this for another while to come. But we have to go through it to come out. We literally do. And it's like everything. It's like changes in schools when they have changed policies and all this kind of stuff, whether it's a uniform policy or whatever, and everybody kicks up and everybody goes mad and it makes everybody uncomfortable for a time, and it needs to feel uncomfortable till we go through it, and it needs to be like, you just have to go through the shit to come out the other side. I don't know. Actually, sorry, just there on schools for a minute, going back to the schools, I actually had the very good news recently that all of the schools that I'm interested in putting Hugh to have taken the decision to become co-ed school, mixed schools from next year, which is amazing. And I actually think that will help. So sorry, the two things are linked, because I do think boys and girls should be educated together. I don't think we should be like, it's very strange to me that we have boys and girls schools, particularly at primary school level.
Where did you go? Were you in a mixed school?
I was in an all-girls primary school and all-girls secondary school. I had no male friends whatsoever.
Yeah, I was the same. Yeah.
So when I cracked into the world at like 18, I was incredibly naive of men. I had no male friends even.
And you don't know how to talk to boys either. No. It's weird. Like, yeah. Yeah. So I'd be all for that as well. All for that. Yeah. I think all schools should be mixed. Like,
I do too. I do as well. Yeah, I'm delighted. Like, because there is a school that I'm particularly interested in that it has great reviews. The pupils tend to do very well and it has great facilities and all the rest, but it was all boys school. And it was the only thing that was kind of putting me off. I was like, oh, I would just much prefer them to be in a mixed school. But this year, and I think this is a wonderful decision. I think especially every primary school, certainly, whatever about secondary schools, every primary school should be mixed, in my opinion, should be a co-ed school. So I am bloody thrilled. What's Charlie? Where are you looking at putting Charlie? Is it mixed or is it boys?
Oh, see, that's the thing. I'm not going to have the choice. I'd say that's the shitty situation I'm in, because obviously I need to get Charlie into an autism class. There are no places. So like, I don't have the choice of picking what school I want or anything for it. That's the bad thing. You know, like, whereas you have the choice and you're so excited by that. I'd love to be like that. Like, before Charlie got his diagnosis, I had his name down in,
the school I wanted him to go to.
It was a brilliant school and all. And then you're literally like slapped in the face with, oh no, sorry, because he has autism or he's autistic. So I'm starting now. I think the application's open in October. I literally have my list, actually. I have a notebook here next to me. I have a list of 29 schools I have to apply for, and they're just schools that are in around my area or would be feasible for us to drive to. But realistically, I would love if Charlie could go to the school that he's in now.
Yes.
But with the places being so low, I don't know if that's going to be possible. I was talking to the CNO, which is the Special Educational Needs Officer, and they are supposed to help you to find places, you know. And I was talking to her and she was saying, oh, you know, it's ridiculous. Like, I mean, I have a child now from, say, just for example, say from Cove in Cork, who's in the school in Whitegate, whereas there's a child from Whitegate who has been sent to the school in Cove. Do you know what I mean? So they're put on the bus to go that way. So really they need to, you know, a lot of it as well is have a bit of cop on. If you see a child in your local area, figure out like where you can put places.
And can they do that? Is there like a kind of holistic approach? Well, like, can someone look in it?
If you're looking to get your child a place, like your one actually said to me, I mean, a lot of it is, you know, we can see now if we can get a child a place now in their locality. But half the time, Audrey, if I'm being honest, I think I'm going to just go ahead and do it myself anyway. I know these people are there to help you, but I said it before, it was a different CNO now last year, not the current one, but when I rang her last year, she literally said, what are you ringing me now for? She goes, there's plenty of spaces, ring back next year. And anyone that watches the news or listens to the radio knows full well there are no places. And for someone then to turn around and go, but like, it's grand, you can put them on the bus.
That's
been said to me twice now. But like, don't worry, he'll definitely get school transport. So you stick him on a bus there and he'll be on the bus for 2 hours.
A five-year-old. I can't even imagine.
And I think it's an absolute disgrace that we're expected to just go, all right, and we're expected to just be so thankful that he got offered a place an hour and a half down the road. And that's unfortunately the bloody situation that, you know, parents of autistic children are in, because you don't get to pick. Ideally, like any other parent, I want my child to go to the school that I pick, the school that, that I've researched, that I want him to go, that's near us. My child should be able to go to the school down the road, same as any other child. But unfortunately, it's not the case. And everything really to do with autism in this country is a joke, but the school places are ridiculous. There's people that literally had to give up their careers, Audrey, because they have no school places. What are you supposed to do? So you have to homeschool your child.
Jesus.
Or get a home tuition. But then again, you apply for home tuition, there's no tutors. It's a constant worry, a constant stress. It's no wonder half of the autistic parents that we're all overweight because we're all eating our feelings and everything, and that's why we're all going on diets. Stress and everything. The amount of people since I'm doing the weight loss thing, and they're all like, I'm telling you, when your child gets a diagnosis, you're guaranteed to put on 3 stone, like, because it's just the worry, the stress. Like, I've known that I have to apply for the school places, obviously, for the past couple of years. I have a knot in my stomach, I'd say, for 2 years straight. And now that it's coming up, I'm actually taking, like, I need to find out I need to find out the exact date now that applications are open. I'm taking the day off work. I'm banging out the applications. And the worry then as well is that, you know, Charlie's an only child. He doesn't have a sibling in the school. So
I know. Well, we have a bit of that.
They get first choice and stuff. So it's just all that worry as well. But I don't know. It would be a miracle. So if anyone is listening and you're religious, light your candles and all that, he'll get a place in the school he's in now. But I don't know. I don't know. Also, who do I need to bribe? Who do I send a brown envelope to to get my child a place?
I think the 2nd of October is the date.
Because we had to go to a course there. We were doing some course for autism, blah, 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 whatever. And your one was like, oh, but I think the applications are open now for this certain school. And I was like, sorry, excuse me. And I panicked then because I was like, I was like, Jesus, I've been so on the ball with this. And they're not open at all, like the stupid agent. Like,
oh, perfect.
Yeah, so I was actually like, I felt like battering her then after it. Like, but your nerves will be gone, like. Yeah. And it's very, very unfair. Like, I should be the same as you, so excited about what school he's going to, you know, looking at the nicer things, you know, like that it's a boys and girls school and, you know, what extracurricular activities they do and stuff like this. Whereas we will literally have to be like, oh, thank God he got a place.
I know. Yeah.
But don't worry. He can put him on the bus.
As if, that's such a mental thing to say.
That's what happens. And now, don't get me wrong, the kids, they love going on the bus. Like, that's like an adventure in itself, going on the bus. But, like, I know someone now who is, their child is starting early intervention. And they have to go from one county to another county.
Wow.
The place they got. Their child is 3.
Jesus.
You put your child on the bus at 7:30 in the morning. School starts at 9. Then you have to come back another hour and a half. For a little 3-year-old? So that's all wrong. It's actually criminal what's going on in this country. It is criminal.
And how is it so bad? Like, how is there not a board or an authority or somebody?
You know what?
Actually,
they come out with all this bullshit, Audrey, every year. It's like there's protests. There's a great group actually that I want to give a shout out to. It's FUS Ireland. So they're on Instagram and I'm sure they're on Facebook and everything as well. So they organize protests and everything as well, right? And they are fantastic. They're a wealth of information. They're just brilliant. And they are really, really trying their best, you know, to try and make some change and stuff. But I mean, as a parent, I understand if you're an organization like that where you can try and do the protest, try and do the fights. But as a general, you know, just so parent, we're so bloody tired, we're so burnt out from arguing that it's all well and good to be all up in arms, but yeah, let's go out and protest. Sometimes you just go, I can't. I literally can't. I'm just so worn out from the whole thing. Like, and that's, to be honest, that's what's happened to me. I was all up on my high horse fighting for services and, you know, my child deserves this as well, he's entitled, blah, blah, blah. And you get nothing. So you're just, in the end, I just go, you know what, I'm going to do it all. I do all private therapies myself. It is wrong, but what do? You can't go, well, I'm not going to go to mental health, so I'm not going to the public.
Yeah.
So you have to. The cost of things, like to get an autism assessment cost the bones of €2,000. And that was 3 years ago. So I've no doubt it'll cost more. So when he goes into school again, he has to get another, like a cognitive assessment done. which more than likely will be another 2,000. It all adds up. Speech therapy could be €100 a week. Imagine if you're doing that every fucking week. You've occupational therapy. There's so much, like, and you're just deal with it. Like, we're literally just left there. Like, so, and they wonder then why we're all exhausted, burnt out and everything. But no, the school for me now is the next big issue that I have to deal with.
If you apply on the 2nd of October, when will you know if you have your place?
I was told that you might not know until the last week of August.
No, that actually makes me feel sick.
You could technically, you apply and there's a closing date. So, for example, if they open on the 1st of October, you have until the 20th of October, say. This is all just hypothetical here now. And they'll say, oh, you'll get your answer by December. Right, which would be great if you did get your answer by December. But what happens if you get your answer and it's like, no, sorry? So then you have to go on a waiting list for the next school, number two on your list. Then you get, no, sorry, no. The third on your list, you're on a waiting list, hoping someone drops out or does something. That's the way it goes. Like, so it could take a long time. And then, like, what do? Do you just settle then for any school?
Is there criteria as to in what order people are given their places? Like, if everybody is applying on the 2nd of October, how is it determined then?
Rules, like mainstream school as well. So if you have a sibling in the school, you'll get priority. Yeah. If your mom is a teacher in the school, you'll get priority. Oh, there's a couple of things like that, you know what I mean? If you're the child of a staff member, you'll get priority. There are things like that as well. So I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. So I'm hoping that we'll start applying in October, and I'm praying that we'll get an answer quick. Be that yes or no, because I even if it's a no.
Well, at least you know and you can move on.
Because
to be left limbo is actually cruel. To be left waiting to know.
And I think, like, if we don't get to school where he is now, which, my God, I hope to God we do, like, I'd love to get one, you know, relatively near to us. That's kind of the main thing, because as well, you have to think as well, it's not just getting a school place. It's for him to make friends, to have like play days and things like that. There's so much more to it than just getting a place. What use is it him getting a place down in Kerry? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. For example, like, that's no use to me. Like, and God help him, I can't homeschool him, like, because, like, I barely manage school myself. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I was like, certainly you'd be no good in the geography state.
Mead and Westmead. Yeah, so look, it's a worry, but sure, look, what you do, it is what it is, like, but it is fairly bad now, right? And I'm fairly certain that I probably have an ulcer or a hernia or something to do with my nerves.
Well, you probably Stress is the biggest killer. Stress causes so many problems, from fertility issues to cancer. Like, stress is rots you from the inside. It's awful.
And it's the waiting as well. The waiting, the not knowing, like, is what kills me as well. I'm like, for God's sake, just tell me, like. Just tell me, why can't you open the things earlier? Like, but look, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Light your candles, lads. Light your candles.
get the grannies to light all the candles.
That's it, yeah. But look, that's for another day anyway. Jesus, I mean, I could do a whole episode now ranting about autism and autism services.
Well, no harm. Do you know what? We said we'd come back and revisit the topic
again. And come here. Honest to God, like, any parents out there, aren't like that, and if you're in the same situation, you know, applying for schools and stuff like that, or if you have any concerns at all about autism, please do drop us an email at allofthepodcast@gmail.com. And I'm going to give you the email address, because there's no way you could fit everything into one of those question boxes on Instagram. But I do, and I know even from the side of, for parents, the stress for parents, the burnout for parents. So even if it's just you want us to share, like, some sort of hints and tips, or, you know, groups or anything like that, anything at all that's helped you as well, I'm more than happy to share anything like that. So now that's that. Have you any more you want to add? By the way, because I totally shat on your parade there about the schools. Hope that you get the exact school that you want, obviously.
Well, to be honest, now that they're becoming co-ed schools, I lightened up. I mean, there's a few that are good schools. Yeah. I live in a nice area. There's a few nice schools around here. And I just wanted them, like, where he goes now for ECCE is obviously mixed. I think every Montessori is mixed. And he plays very well. Like, he's a real rough and tumble kid. but he plays differently where there are girls around. And I just was like, he's friends. When I say to him, who did you play today? He always comes out with 2-3 girls names and then a boy's name. And I was like, I wouldn't like to land him in an all boys school. I also think it's good for their development and it's good for them socially. And even with this thing and this constant separation between men and women, the fact that we kicked that all off at 5 years of age is fucking nuts to me.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we do that. I don't think they should be like aliens or for when we said, what was that thing? It used to be like men are from Mars and women are from Venus, whatever that crap was. But that's because we were separated from five years of age and schooled entirely differently with different attitudes and the whole shebang, like even down to sport and the sports that we might allow. I was never a sporty kid. There was no real sports. Well, that we were kind of encouraged to do, but like if you're going to a co-ed school, at least they'll have the opportunity to look at all
to have
different
a go
kinds
at it, like
you know. And so for that I'm very pro a co-ed or mixed school, all the way through, to be honest with you, because I think that's how you'll eventually, but we're having our conversations here and they're interesting conversations whether we agree or disagree. It's interesting to have that debate, but I do hope that your kid, my kid, and every other kid of a similar generation in 20 or 30 years time are having a different conversation because they were brought up a little bit more woke, or because they were brought up in co-ed schools, or because, you know, there had been a shift in the dial as to what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. So I do kind of see it all as being progressive. So I know that was literally it. Like, I'm just very, very happy that schools have taken the decision to become mixed co-ed.
Yeah, like, I know myself, I went to a private school for ladies as well. And when you come out of that, you haven't a clue how to talk to boys. You know, when you're out and you're in a pub or something and you're like, oh, you see a fella that you fancied or something and you can't, like, it's like, okay, I'll get the words out. Like, I felt so awkward, like, even
For a couple of years, you're not really
No, so I'm all for that now as well. But anyway, look, we better finish up anyway. And we just wanted to say as well, I know I kind of said it lightly there and the thing, but the Irish Podcast Awards are on and the applications are open for the Listener's Choice Award, right? And obviously that's voted for by the listeners. So we would absolutely love and appreciate if you could go over and give us a little vote. Now, listen, there's much bigger podcasts than ours, and we're just a small little fish in a big pond, but you know, every little helps and all that. And we'd love just to for you to help us out and to listen there with that. And as I was saying, if anyone wants to get in touch, you can contact us via socials with all of the podcasts, or if you want to get in touch re autism and everything else, you can send us an email at allofthepodcast@gmail.com. So now, that's the scab for this week, and we will be back next week. Bye.
Hang on.
She's not finished. Hold on.
No, I'm finished. Right. It's okay.
Are you sure? Yeah. All right.
I'm all for it.
All right. Bye.
Bye.